Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Metal Shop. AEW is in town this weekend. AEW doing both Collision and also Wrestle Dream. We have a dude here that for Metal Shop, I mean, there were a lot of AEW superstars doing the press rounds this week. We had Bryan Danielson. We had Darby Allin. We had Paul White. But I was like, dude, I got to talk to this guy because this guy's the guest for Metal Shop. Not only is he a badass in the ring, you can see him with the House of Black. He is an AEW superstar and he has a Seattle connection here. But also he's a singer of a band called God's Hate that we play on Metal Shop. And I got to tell you, Brody, it's actually pretty serendipitous that I talked to you today because I just checked the mail. I got one of those new God's Hate Gold's Gym shirts in the mail today.
Hell yeah. That is a, you know, divine connection.
Exactly. Brody, how you doing, man? Nice to talk to you again.
Good, dude. How are you?
Doing good, man. I'm stoked for the shows this weekend. But I got to talk about, you showed up on the camera with a little bit of a wrist injury. Are you good to go? Are you good to wrestle?
No, right now I'm not good to wrestle. I suffered a little injury at Wembley. The barricade jumped out and attacked me, you know, as one does. It might have been me running into it too many times and, you know, it got smart and it injured me back. But we'll be all right in a couple of weeks and we'll be back to whooping some ass. You know how it is.
Absolutely, man. So I wanted to kind of mention that before wrestling, you had a connection with Seattle with a festival called Rainfest. You had attended, your band God's Hate played, I think, either the last year or one of the last years.
I think it was the last year.
Yeah, last year. When was the first time you visited Seattle? Was it for Rainfest?
Yeah, I think it was 2009.
2009? Okay.
Maybe.
The old Viaduct?
The Viaduct. Yeah, at the Viaduct. Is that the year the Terror played?
It must have been, yeah.
Yeah, so it was. I remember it was like Backtrack, Harm's Way, Terror, like I think... I don't know. That was so long ago. But yeah, that was the first taste of the Pacific Northwest hardcore scene. And, you know, ever since we've been coming back.
So I got to ask, what do we got to do to get God's Hate back up here? You know, could you guys possibly play one of those Just Another gigs?
Yeah, we would love to. We've talked to Zach about it a bunch. And, you know, the last couple of years, like the timing just hasn't worked out, but hopefully we'll get up here and get one of those Just Another gigs, you know?
Absolutely, man. So as far as when we're on the subject of Rainfest, you know, over those 10 years, just about every band you'd want to see played that. You started going in 2009 or 2000. Yeah. Back then, what was your favorite or a couple of your favorite Rainfest sets?
Oh man. Favorite Rainfest sets. Zabalba played that one year. I think when you introduced them.
Yes, absolutely.
You did the wrestling introduction for them.
And then Nate tackled me off stage. That was cool.
They had that big like drum circle part. Twitching Tongues when they all dressed up like preachers.
Yep.
It was really awesome. I'm trying to think of, like some of the headliners. Hours last show there was insane. Like, I feel like that band specifically, like, people kind of lose their minds over Drain, and like Power was kind of like doing that
totally
way before.
Yeah.
Like the boogie boards and the crowd and the pool noodles and all that stuff. Just like a party every time they played. I mean, there's so many different fond memories I have of being up here, and it's always been great. It's funny because it's like one of the main security guards, Sean, who used to go to all the Rain Fests, then started doing all the Defies, and like, we had like another connection there, so that was funny.
Shout out to Sleeps, man. He's part of the security crew. He's head of one of the head of productions at Defy now. So, one of my favorites was back to back. It was I believe it was Damnation AD and then Death Threat, like back to back, two totally different styles of hardcore. But like, I was just moshing up for both those bands. It was awesome. I had been sick. I that was in my drinking days. I had been hungover all day long. I got a Seattle dog in me, and then I just went into Damnation AD and Death Threat. That was awesome. So back in the day.
Yeah. You could always count on Rainfest to have like something. The lineup was always so obscure because there was like bands that would only hit super hard in the Pacific Northwest. And then like, but they would be into like a band like Backtrack and then a band like Damnation AD. And it was always really cool.
I remember one of the, and you know, we're going way back with Rainfest lore here, but I remember Nicole from Death Wish. She flew in to do a Death Wish table, and she was telling me, she was like, yeah, Hammer Bros, they're not that, you know, big in Boston or whatever. It's cool that they're playing. And then they just got this insane reaction in Tacoma, and she's like, what? They don't even get this. It's awesome. So it was
cool. I think they played the same year as The Carrier, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there was a bunch of Boston bands that year.
Yeah. So we got to talk about wrestling. So obviously, you know, last time we talked, I think it was during the pandemic, and we did one of those Zooms for the Defiant Ones, which is also a podcast that I do for Defy Local Wrestling Company, badass local wrestling company. But in the, you know, time since, the company that you were in, Ring of Honor, changed hands, but now it's back with a guy that is your employer, and you started with AEW. How's it been, man? The last, you know, freaking, what is it, 18 months you've been with AEW? You've probably been even longer.
Yeah, well, I think you're pretty much right on the nose. I'm just about to come up on 2 years. Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, you know, my time with Ring of Honor was awesome. It kind of like familiarized me with TV wrestling and, you know, the, you know, what you would call the dying days of Ring of Honor kind of sucked because we had a great roster of talent, but we didn't have a lot of like promotion to get a lot of fans out there. And then, you know, the last year we did all pandemic wrestling to nobody. So going from that to a company like AEW is crazy because it's like, now you're on like the hot ticket in town, you know, where like you get these big ass crowds, you get these huge pay-per-views, and you're on national TV every week. It's like, you know, friends and family would always ask, hey, what channel can I check you out on? And I'm like, I have no idea what channel Ring of Honor is on.
Syndicated on Sinclair, wherever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe at 4 o'clock in the morning. But it's awesome to be like, oh, TBS, TNT, you know, 8 o'clock is awesome. It kind of like gives the people that were supporting you a little bit more like pride in that, you know, oh, he's on national TV, whatever. But it's been awesome. It's been really cool to wrestle. Working for Tony's great. Like he really truly cares about wrestling and cares about the people that he employs, which is, you know, the most you can ask for, especially in a company or in a business like wrestling.
Totally, man. It's been awesome seeing you, and like also, you know, just the fact that you come out to hardcore music. You know, how quickly did you realize that you could do that? Was it always from the get-go, like choose your own music and have, you know, Colin write some music, or have God's Hate, you know, because he's done some custom theme songs? But how soon joining AEW did you get that like go ahead?
I mean, like right away, pretty much. Like I had God's Hate for Ring of Honor, and I kind of always use God's Hate for indies and everything. But coming into here, obviously, you know, you get like a national advantage to putting your own band on national TV. Yeah. You're going to try to do it. So yeah, Be Harder became my single stuff, which, you know, I haven't had a ton of singles matches, but it's been pretty awesome whenever that's on it. And then, Colin did, he did the Kings of the Black Throne entrance, which is, Malachi and I, when we tag team. And, you know, I think the one that's kind of like become its own monster is Julia Hart's entrance music. He did, Colder Heart by, actually another Pacific Northwest person, Emma from Dying Wish.
Yeah. Play that single later.
She sings that her entrance song, and you know, that has become its own thing. And it's awesome because it's like, it's not a band. It's just a song.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then of course, the House of Black music is, Colin and Taylor's other band, Dead Body.
So cool, man. And then I think Colin also wrote something for Wardlow.
He did briefly write a song for Wardlow, and then he reverted back to some other music. I don't know what the deal with that was.
Fair enough. I did a little, there was like this, Decibel Magazine does this like Reader of the Month, and they chose me for Reader of the Month. And they said, hey, you work for this company, Defy, you know, are there any, you know, wrestlers that are metalheads? And I said, dude, you don't even know, like Jerry Lynn, old school death metal head. Like he was going to ECW with Dying Fetus shirts on. Matthew Justice went and saw Pantera, and he loves Down and all that stuff. Southern metal. I said, you know, you're the singer of God's Hate. Edge came out to Slayer at WrestleMania. Are there any other, what are other like wrestlers are fans of metal? Obviously Malachi.
Yeah. I mean, Malachi is heavy into like hardcore death metal, black metal. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you said Jerry, because a couple weeks ago we were in Cleveland, and Jerry, he was like, hey, do you want to go to a 200 Savage Wounds show tonight? I was just like,
amazing.
I was like, I get in too late. But the fact that, you know, he's like keeping up on like the genres and stuff, and dude, his like knowledge on it is crazy. Like he knows every genre like of metal, and like has a band that he likes from all of them. But he's always like, yeah, you know, I always go back to like Dying Fetus. Like that's probably my favorite metal band. I'm like, of course, because it's the best. But yeah, there's a bunch of people, you know, like Wardlow, when he wanted that song written by Colin, he just wanted a song that sounded like Hatebreed. And it's like, well, that's sick.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of like other Danhausen. Danhausen's a hardcore kid. He always, you know, is posting about different hardcore bands or different metal bands. Yeah, there's Darby listens to punk, obviously, but there's definitely a little like a group of us who will like share music. And
I think Kevin Koo, he's an indie rapper.
Yeah.
He loves hardcore.
Kevin Koo's a hardcore kid. Yeah. There's a lot out there now. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, Alley Cat, she's a hardcore kid from Texas. They're all over now.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I mean, there needs to be some sort of like, you know, hybrid, like crazy super group of all these, you know, different, it would be a really weird band though. Like, can you imagine that, you know, all these different, you know, wrestlers in one band? I don't know. I think Damian Abraham said it right though. He said the wrestling and hardcore connection, you know, it's a real thing, man. And now it's manifested. It's become real.
Oh, Andy Williams, of course.
Oh, you know. Obviously. I mean,
yeah. Probably the most famous wrestler, musician.
So wrestling at Wembley, I mean, it's got to be unreal. What was that vibe? What was that feeling like that day?
Dude, it's crazy. Like performing in front of that many people, it's like you almost get lost in it. And, you know, if everything from like Tom and Buddy doing their Bray Wyatt tribute to like just like everyone with their phone cameras on and like the music, it was crazy. It's like you don't really get to take in as much as you want. And I felt like that when we did Madison Square Garden too. It's like, it's so big and there's so many people that you almost kind of get like tunnel vision. And it's like when you're wrestling somewhere like Defy, when there's like, you know, 500 people, 700 people, you can kind of see almost everyone in the crowd. And it's like there you see like the first five rows and then it's just like a sea of people. But it's amazing. I mean, you know, we had 80,000 people barking at me during our match, which is awesome. So being able to do stuff and like watching it back is definitely amazing. Seeing all the crowd shots and seeing all like the fans and it was a special moment, and it was awesome to be part of that historical event.
It's awesome, man. So, you know, being that you've now performed in front of that kind of crowd with God's Hate, it's more of an intimate thing, but you have played some big festivals, Sound and Fury Festival. Could you ever see God's Hate going over and doing those like Wacken Open Air, Dynamo, you know, or like Hellfest? Do you ever think that you guys could be like a stadium, like Euro metal band? Like, I mean, obviously you would do, you know, Madball play Dynamo, so you would do what you do, but could you ever see that, kind of being on that grand of a stage?
I mean, I'm not opposed to it, that's for sure. I'm definitely down to try, but I definitely have a soft spot for those, like, you know, kind of do what you want fests. Like, I feel like Sound and Fury is insane in the way that there was 5,000 people this year or something like that, and like no barricade, no security, like doing much. So it's like just kids just going crazy, jumping up on the stage. And it's funny because like when people, you know, from wrestling or people that are into music but not hardcore see that, and they're like, dude, what? Like, people can just get on stage and jump off? Like, that's crazy. I'm like, yeah man, it's the best. Like, I don't want there to be a 40-foot gap between me and the person that wants to sing along. But, you know, fans like you said, Madball, Fury 5, like, they all did Dynamo. And, like, I think it'd be sick. Like, you know, have a crowd of, like, 80,000 people yelling, "Be harder."
Yes, absolutely, man. Do that, and that would be amazing. And whether or not they speak English, you know, sing that song. And I mean, what was that? Metallica playing to like almost 1 million people. And was that Russia? Jesus Christ. It was insane, dude.
I want to hear "Be Harder."
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So people are probably, if you're just a metal shop listening, you're like, dude, Kevin's taking another excuse to talk to a wrestler. What's going on? Why is he talking to a wrestler? But I have to mention, like, an underground independent wrestlers, which is what you did for a few years there, and an underground independent band, you know, what do those two things have in common? Is there any, you know, similarities between the grind of both of those things?
So many. I mean, I would say that, you know, the grind of wrestling, it's a little bit easier than the grind of being in a band. Like, you're by yourself. Yeah. You kind of get the accommodations, like, you know, someone's going to pay for your travel. Someone's going to, you know, put you up in a hotel for the most part. Those things are not always guaranteed with a band. But, you know, you have that camaraderie with a band, and like, you have someone else to suffer with.
Yeah.
But, you know, both of them are similar in the fact that, like, most of the time you're playing for not very much money. There could be 500 people in the crowd. There could be 5 people in the crowd. You don't really know what you're getting into. Different promotions treat everything differently. But, you know, I'm fortunate in the fact that, you know, both God's Hate and Brody King are able to be on a more professional level where, you know, we can kind of ask for what we need and make it happen.
Did you put in that work, man? Because you put in the hours, I mean, the days and the weekends and of grinding, you know, like, I remember when you were on tour with a band that played, you know, the Red Room in Tacoma. And then I remember seeing you in, you know, like early on Defy shows, you know? So it's like, you've put in those hours and you put in that time, and now you're on the grandest stage. So, you know, dude, major props to you, man. Again, AEW is going to be at Climate Pledge for 2 nights this weekend. Get your tickets. They are available now. Wrestle Dream is the big one going down Sunday. First ever pay-per-view Antonio Inoki tribute show, Wrestle Dream. We're going to go into a final song here, Brody, and we're going to go into Be Harder. This is kind of the theme for God's Hate. What made you want to do this song?
This is a theme for my life, basically.
Okay.
You know, this was like you said, being on the grind for that many years and then it all finally paying off. And that's kind of what this whole song is about, is just, you know, believing in yourself and keep pushing on. And eventually it all pays off. So, you know, life is hard, be harder.
Absolutely, man. Dude, go see Brody King and support him, AEW here in town. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Kevin.
Is that what happens to us? No time for friends. Only our enemies leave roses. Violent lives ending violently.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.